Our sacraments that we participate in, especially in our church fellowship, it may not be a word that you've heard very often, but it's basically a word that means something unique, something special, something set apart by God that we can all participate in. And a sacrament isn't so much what we do. A sacrament is a gift given us by God to receive and participate in it. So when we have communion in just a couple of moments, it is a participation in Christ, in his life and his death, his burial and his resurrection. And the fact that we're here this morning, coming together as people of God, as frail as we are sometimes, and we don't always measure up, it's because of Christ. We don't qualify, he qualifies us. He invites us to be part of himself. And also in our baptism, it's that demonstration of our giving ourselves to him. So one of the questions that you may want to ask is, was there ever a time when it started? Someone says, well, what do you mean? Was there ever a time in the Bible when all three sacraments began? They started at the same time. That all at once, here it happens. It begins. This is where we mark the moment that the sacraments that we have given us by God, it happened and it's been happening ever since. Well, it is. It's found in Acts chapter 1. And you don't have to follow along with me this morning, but I'm going to do a fair amount of reading. And I'm going to get to the point toward the latter part of the reading where it's like, yes, here it is. And this is why even 2,000 years later, we are still participating in these amazing sacraments. So let me read to you from an older NIV version, and you can just sort of get lost in what's happening. So the writer of this book is Luke, a physician. He thoroughly investigates everything, and here's what he says. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these people and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of God to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the entire earth. And then these people got together and they shared with one another. They prayed with each other. There were a variety of people who were all there besides the disciples and apostles. And then it says this, when the day of Pentecost came, Pentecost was just one of many of the Jewish holidays that had a very spiritual application to it. In fact, I'll just make a brief comment here. Back, way back in Old Testament times, when Israel was going across the desert, they'd already crossed the Red Sea, they were about to establish a brand new society, God said, here are 12 religious, spiritual festivals that I want you to keep as holy, to participate in them, because they are sacred assemblies unto me, says the Lord. One of those sacred assemblies was Pentecost. And so people from all over the known world who followed the Mosaic law, all speaking different languages, yet worshiping the one God, understanding the Ten Commandments, understanding all those festivals, all came to Jerusalem, and they're there participating in this sacred worship. And here's what happens. When that day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. This is the 12 apostles and other friends. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, the reason why they were speaking in all these other languages was because the people who had gathered there at Pentecost from all over the world spoke in different languages. So everyone who came from a different place and a different language all heard the same message being spoken by 11 apostles at that time, because God had gifted them, enabled them to do this. Something very sacred, special is going on here. So Peter finally stands up. He's going to be the spokesman. And here's what he says. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully what I say to you. These people are not drunk. Some people accuse them of being drunk because they were speaking in languages that they didn't understand, but they weren't drunk. They were just speaking in languages so that everyone there could hear it in their own language. But then he goes on to say, Peter said, what you have now seen and heard is the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel spoke about years ago. When Joel said, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. That's exactly what was taking place. And so Peter goes on. People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked people, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then Peter goes on and says a few more things about the fulfillment of those prophecies that were made about Jesus long ago. And then Peter wraps up his speech by saying that this, therefore, let all Israel, so all the people who had gathered there at Pentecost from all over the world, all speaking in different languages and yet hearing the same message in their own language, he addresses all of them and says, therefore, let all of you who are part of Israel, be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent, meaning stop, rethink, change your mind about this, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift, the Holy Spirit of God, to come and live in you. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God will call. And then it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the church that day. 3,000 baptisms. So what happens next? Verse 42. So they all devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the church, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, communion, and prayer. All three sacraments happening on the first day the church begins, that the call of God has come to all people. You don't qualify. He qualifies us. It's a call from God to all of us. The worst of sinners, people even there saying, yeah, I was there when Jesus was crucified. I thought it was the right thing to do. How could God ever accept me? I killed Jesus. And Jesus said, you qualify because of me. Every single person is invited to not only participate in the sacraments, but to live them, to be baptized into Christ Jesus. That when we commune not just remembering his death, but his life. When you go to a funeral, you don't talk so much about their death, you talk about their life. And Jesus is alive today, isn't he? He's not sleeping. He's not tired. In fact, it's Paul who says, Christ who lives in you is our hope of glory. That's just because of who Christ is. So in our baptism, in our communion, and the fact that we've all gathered here today, we participate in our sacraments every time we gather as this church on Sunday morning. So it's not just that we partake, it's that we live them, that we live these wonderful sacraments of God. They all start at the same time, and they exist even to this day. And the invitation is for everyone to participate in those sacraments.